Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and happy Friday to all of you. This is Donna Sebo. Welcome to an hour of mind power. Well, you know how I am relative, if you're a regular listener, relative to wellness. I'm always open to good material that is going to empower us as people to take charge of our own physical well-being, to make sure that we do what we need to do. Life happens at times, but something that you can do yourself can often be a very good preventative patterning for ill health. Well, my guest today is a Dr. Carol Roberts. We're going to be talking about her publication, Good Medicine, A Return to Common Sense. Carol, I want to welcome you to the show. I hope you don't mind me calling you Carol.
Not at all, Donna. That's fine. I prefer that. Well, I don't wear a white coat either.
You don't wear a white coat either. Woohoo! That's good. Okay, I want my listeners to know that you come from a great deal of practical experience. You are the founder and medical director of Wellness Works, which is in Brandon, Florida. You graduated from Harvard and the University of Texas Medical School. You specialized in otolaryngology. Now, you can correct me on that one because I don't think I got
that
my tongue. Yes, ear, nose, and throat, and emergency medicine. And you really believed in, from the very beginning when you were doing your practice, healthy living. So in 1994, you opened your private practice because you wanted to integrate conventional medicine with natural and holistic techniques, and you've been going strong ever since. What was it that created the synergy that enabled you to say to the environment you were in, we're going to bring in some of these applications? And obviously you opened your own clinic, but what caused you to be alert to this, realizing that they don't have to be at odds with each other?
Well, that's the thing. A lot of stuff.
Now, Carol, excuse me, I'm going to stop you.
Okay.
Your voice, there we go, you're back. Your voice
okay.
was off in La La Land somewhere.
I'm sorry. Is that better?
Oh, that's much better. That's
okay,
wonderful.
Good.
Excuse me for interrupting you, but we couldn't hear you. Okay,
good.
So go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say that a lot of doctors who do what I do do it because they themselves had an illness or someone in their family had an illness. That's really not true of me. I just got tired of telling people that I didn't know what caused their illness, but here's what we can do to treat it while the scientists are figuring it out. Well, after about 20 years of telling people that, I realized the scientists were never going to figure it out because too many people were making too much money with the system as it is. So I started reading outside of the black bag literature, if you will, and I found out that we do know a lot about the underlying causes of illness, but it's not taught in medical school. So I started learning, and the more I learned, the more I wanted to learn. And I also have the bad habit of listening to my patients.
Oh, I love that one. You have the bad habit of listening to your patients. Okay,
well,
this is a woman we want to talk with. All right.
That was also not taught in medical school, unfortunately. That may have changed since, you know, the antediluvian days when I went to med school. But my patients started teaching me what they had been doing. And when they found out that I would actually listen to them and utilize what they were telling me, they brought me, books and internet printouts and all kinds of things that were very helpful to me in my learning experience. So I just couldn't continue to practice the way I'd been taught and remain in integrity. I just knew too much. So I had to kind of reinvent medicine the way I wanted to practice it, and that's how it happened.
Well, I think that's fabulous. And I think anyone in the medical area that has the integrity and the honesty, as you have had, that are willing to listen to their patients, that will take that time, because everything in the industry goes against that.
Mm-hmm. It does, doesn't it?
It really, really does. In fact, it's become so depersonalized that so many people feel so disempowered that many times doctors just don't even really look at what's going on.
Correct. That's right. And I knew after I got out of residency, they started making noise about this standard of care. And it sounded like an epitaph for the art of medicine to me, because the standard of care has so standardized things that we are required to put everybody on the same drugs at the same dosages for the same conditions, when people are truly individuals and mm-hmm. they may have these conditions for a whole host of different reasons. But that's not how we're supposed to be practicing.
In your book, you talk about a specific incident. It was a life and death emergency. You were working in a small community hospital in Central Florida.
Yes.
And tell us about that particular experience, because a physician is going to see a lot of things that the average individual doesn't even have a clue about.
True. And I remember this lady because I was motivated to do something that I'd probably never done before in that setting. At any rate, it was the middle of the night. I was fast asleep and they woke me up banging on the door. And so, you know, you jump into action before your brain is engaged. And I came out of the room to see this woman being wheeled past me on a stretcher, and I could hear her breathing. She was breathing so loudly and with such obstruction that I knew we were dealing with a case of status asthmaticus. This woman had asthma, and it was so bad she was really having a hard time breathing. So they put her in the trauma room, and they put an oxygen sensor on her finger, and they threw her on the gurney, and I walked in the room, and there she was, just completely pale, ice cold, really out of her body, as I would describe it now. She
mm-hmm.
just wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
So for some reason, I put my hands on her feet. Her little feet were sticking out from under the sheets. And I don't know why I did it, but it was an intuitive thing. And I looked in her eyes, and I started talking to her in as normal a voice as I could muster. And meanwhile, everyone is in action. They're getting ready for me to intubate her, which means to put down a breathing tube and take over her breathing, force air into her lungs past those constricted bronchial tubes. So instead of doing that, I just started talking to her. And we had this oxygen sensor on her finger, and it was registering 78% oxygen saturation. Now, life begins at about 90%, so this lady was in real trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But as I talked to her, her oxygen saturation started to come up, and she started to get a little pinker and a little warmer, and she came back into her body. And after a minute of talking to this lady, she was backed up to 92 or 94% saturation. We saved her an intubation. And, you know, at the time, that was a very radical thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
The, quote, right thing would have been to intubate her immediately. But I saved her that, so she didn't have to go to intensive care. She did spend the night. She was discharged in the morning perfectly okay. And from that moment on, of course, they started calling me the witch doctor. That's not supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fine with me. I loved it. I mean, if you can help somebody without doing something drastic, why not?
Absolutely. I think that intuitive move enabled the panic she was going through to give her that sense of comfort, the aspect of touch.
Exactly.
Because she was so cold. That was the first thing you noticed when you touched her feet. Her feet mm-hmm. were icy.
Mm-hmm.
So her circulation wasn't there. But that particular touch, in our society, we've gotten away. We've got so much stuff out there that promotes fear.
Mm-hmm.
A teacher hugging a child on a program the other night, and I thought, my God, in some areas they'd be sued.
That's right. That's
and
right.
It's ridiculous to reach out to a human being, to touch them, to hold their hand, to speak to them. That sometimes is invaluable. When you have someone in shock, I can remember an accident I had been in. My goodness, I'd forgotten about this until we were just chatting. I was thrown out of a vehicle, and my legs were twisted up underneath my back.
Oh, my goodness.
And this man, he was a physician to this day. I do not know who he was.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to have been in shock, but I remember coming out. I was unconscious. I came out of it, but he was talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very gently touching my arms, touching my hands,
mm-hmm.
you know, moving my legs. Now, fortunately, by the grace of God, I didn't have any broken legs.
Right.
I was in extremely good physical shape. And my body was just sort of like a pretzel, and it just sort of folded up, and the impact did not damage me. I had all of two holes in my pantyhose. Big deal. but seriously, this man took time, and he touched me, and he talked to me, and I came out of that shock. And I'll never forget, he was looking me in the eye, which a good doctor would do anyway, to see how the eyes relate. But he talked, he said, okay, now you're fine. You're coming back, you're going to be okay, there's an ambulance. And he just explained everything. And it was amazing. So what you did, I think, is so important. And
well,
it makes
you know,
such
isn't
a difference.
Just common sense?
That, you'd think
that
so.
You reach out with your humanity.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's, again, that's discouraged, actively discouraged in medical school. You're supposed to put this wall between you and the patient to protect both of you. So, supposedly.
Yeah, we've just become so impersonal is the word I'm looking for.
Right, and the
and
fear.
That's not
you're
medicine.
So right.
Yeah,
and healing
that's not
does
medicine.
Not happen in an atmosphere of fear.
Correct. Nor in isolation necessarily.
Right.
When
and
you're
so,
cut off.
Right. We
yeah.
have a culture that seriously isolates people.
Mm-hmm. Now, I love your quote in here by George Burns. If I'd known I was going to live this long, and he lived to be over 100, I believe, I would have taken better care of myself. And you have this image of George Burns with a cigar in his between
right.
his fingers. So I love that quote.
That's
Let's
right.
talk about something that, again, it should be common sense, but let's talk about digestion and food and vitamins.
Okay.
Let's go for that.
Well, where should we start? Well, first of all, we can start with our food choices. Again, our culture is stacked up against us because most of us are too busy, supposedly, to cook or to make good food choices. And that's a big mistake because if you're putting lousy fuel in your gas tank, your car's not going to run very well, and neither will your body. So that's the first thing. The digestive tract is marvelously designed to protect us from the things that aren't supposed to come in and
mm-hmm.
to allow in the things that are supposed to come in. So let's not sabotage it. So, for example, just off the top of my head, antacids and acid-blocking drugs that are not supposed to be taken for more than a few weeks at a time. Many people are taking for years and years and years without realizing that you can't absorb minerals without acid.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't sterilize your food without acid. So they're getting all kinds of intestinal infections and complications because they have no stomach acid, and they're getting weaker and weaker, and they're not attributing it to the drugs. So instead of taking drugs, we need to support and enhance the physiology, the way the body is supposed to work. So I tried to put a lot of that in the book so that people could really understand the processes that the body goes through and how to help them along instead of what I call sweeping it under the rug and just treating symptoms.
Mm-hmm. I agree. You know, you have a story in here about vitamins that I really liked, and I know this is a fact because I've come across this in my readings before. In 2006, the Journal of American Medical Association, the JAMA, reported that deaths from properly administered medications, now this is properly administered medications, among hospitalized patients, was over 100,000. In fact, it was 106,000 people died because of the side effects of the medications that were properly prescribed. And yet you get all of this fol-de-rol about vitamins. Oh, it's going to poison you. And I'm telling you, it is downright irritating.
I know. And, you know, in 2007, they looked at all the deaths from vitamins, and there were none.
Oh, gee, fancy that.
There were zero deaths from taking vitamins. So all that fear-mongering is just that.
Yeah, and that's important. You know, I want to share something with you because we're talking about food nutrition. Diabetes has become the hot thing, and most of it's related to diet.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a conversation with a woman yesterday who I've known for now over a year, and we've been working together on some things. And a year ago when she came into my environment, she didn't think she was going to live out the year. Because she has liver problems, she's a very serious diabetic, she's on all kinds of medications. So we started talking about people I've interviewed with nutrition, et cetera, like yourself, that are knowledgeable. I said, read this information, just don't take my word for it. She's very intelligent. Today, or yesterday, I found out that she finally got it. Her physician had never encouraged any kind of vitamins, in fact, had a positioning against vitamins, very pro-medication, on her own, without telling him. She had blood tests done first before she did this. For 40 days, it's over 40 days now, she has been doing the vitamins, taking enzymes because her gallbladder has been removed, taking enzymes when she eats, taking enzymes when she takes the vitamins. This woman who hasn't been able to move an ounce of fat dropped 20 pounds in 40 days.
Wow.
She is thrilled. She walks into her doctor's office and he says, what have you been doing? He said, I'll be happy to loan you some of my books.
Right.
And I
don't want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to know, and I don't understand why. There are some who do.
Mm-hmm.
And the young ones, I think, are coming around to it. But the business of medicine depends on return customers, unfortunately. And
well,
so
what about the business of keeping people well? That's lucrative. How many billions are spent on nutritional factors today that people didn't even consider 10 years ago?
Well, and mostly to counteract the effects of your people's self-abuse and abuse by the medical profession.
Mm-hmm.
So the more you know, the better off you are, and the more you can take care of yourself, the better off you are. And stay away from doctors, because doctors only know about illness. They don't know how to help people be healthy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you have to do that for yourself, and that's why I wrote this book. This is all the lectures that I give to my patients with their various problems, and also a little discussion of the energy requirements of the body.
Yes, and that's what I wanted you to talk about next, because I don't hear many doctors talking about the energy part of the body. So you really went the extra 30, 40 miles outside of the track that the ordinary physician travels. You said, I really want to explore this. Tell us what stimulated this as well.
Well, I'm an Aquarian.
Aha.
And if you know anything about astrology, Aquarians are the avant-garde of the zodiac. So we're always trying new things and always out there, and we don't care what anyone else thinks. so it, I was doing reading in meditation, in yoga, in all kinds of Eastern philosophies. And a large part of that is the energetics of the body. And I began to realize when I started consulting my own body that, yes, of course, there's energy in the body. And I learned from my readings that there's a whole anatomy of this energy field, and that illness is actually preceded by energetic disruptions and emotional issues.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really want to get at the underlying causes of illness, you have to look at the emotional part. So it just became a huge part of my explorations. And, you know, the Chinese have known about this forever, and the Indians have known about it forever, and we're the last ones to come around to this, and many of us haven't yet, because we're so fixated on the physical chemistry of the body that we forget that there's physics also at work here. And did you know, Donna, that the heart energy field in a human being, which, of course, we can see on an EKG, is detectable at least 15 feet away from an individual?
I knew animals could sense that. They sense that very, very quickly. But no, I didn't know about the 15 feet.
So our heart fields are constantly interacting with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why we can have an instant like or dislike of somebody, because their energy fields are either compatible or not. So if you start observing your responses and your physical responses to different situations, you will learn where your energy blocks are.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I think that's terrific. Yes.
Oh, it's dynamic. It's the next big thing in medicine, really.
Well, I think it's wonderful because people like you that are educating your patients, you have been willing to be the student of different modalities. It's expanded your capabilities as a physician to be able to link with patients so that they feel like, oh, my goodness, you're just not going to hand me a pill. No, we need to talk about why this is here. What's going on with you? What's happening in your life? You know, these are, I think that is such, that's really the way medicine should be. And in a sense, it's not unlike what the old country doctors used to do, that would know all about the kids and what are you eating and
right.
What did you get into.
That's why I called it good medicine. It's just common sense. It's a return to respect for natural healing. And,
right.
Of course, it goes against the grain of capitalist medicine, which is what we've got now. But we've got to change because we can't afford this anymore.
Well, see, I think that one can make, in fact, I know of people that make a very good income because there's always going to be something going wrong with somebody somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I think we have gained so much insight and knowledge when it comes to certain surgeries and various things. But there's the other side, and that is encouraging people to be well so that they have a quality of life.
Yes.
I mean, that's wonderful. If you say, come on, we'll do this, and maybe for $150, we'll do it. We'll check all this, and this, and let's see how you're doing. And if we see something that's not working right, or if they're complaining, then you take some time and you communicate with them, and there may be something that is developing that
right.
you need to be aware of. I mean,
that
there's
we can
enough.
Head off before
that's
it becomes
right.
a full-blown illness, exactly.
Absolutely. I think of a woman whose husband was exposed to radiation and ended up developing some very serious things. Things like this happen. And we need good doctors. We need good nurses. They're never going to become outdated and obsolete. It's just not going to happen.
Right, right.
Because
that's
life true. Is what it is.
Exactly. But we don't need 400,000 heart attacks a year that
That's
are all
true.
Treated with bypass operations instead of actually chelation therapy, which is the best prevention for heart disease that there is.
And you bring out a number of nutrients, and it's like the coenzyme Q10. You talk about so many other different components. And one of the things people don't realize is that as they get older, after the age of 30, our chemical manufacturing system gets altered. And you just need to realize that you have to take care of your physical chassis like you do your automobile chassis.
Right. Nobody teaches us that. How come? Why not?
I don't know. It's just not common sense, I guess. Couldn't resist it. I just couldn't. Her medicine, his book is Good Medicine, A Return to Common Sense. Carol, you talk about brain health. I mean, we are getting bombarded with so many commercials about medications, and if you just listen to the side effects that they talk about after the commercial is given, you just shiver. You go, oh, who'd ever want to take any of that stuff?
Exactly.
Now, let's talk about brain health, because one of the big factors, since we're living so much longer, is Alzheimer's. And I understand that dementia is something that people, you know, it's been around as far as we know with human beings from the beginning. But what can we do about this? How can we take a proactive approach towards that?
Well, first of all, we have to learn how to eat properly and what are the correct foods to eat. The brain needs fat.
Mm-hmm.
The brain needs quality fat. And so many of us think that fat is the enemy, that we're not eating enough of it, of the right kind, to really feed our brains. So that's one thing. And then, of course, the vitamins. Our food supply has been devitalized. When they clean the husk off of the wheat, they take the vitamins away, and they leave only the starch and certain toxins. So that's part of it, too. And then the accumulation of toxins in the body really debilitates the brain over time. So it's a combination of nutritional deficiencies that build up over time and toxins. So find a knowledgeable doctor who can help you to detoxify. It doesn't have to be an MD. Many chiropractors are very good at that, nutritionists and acupuncturists, doctors of oriental medicine, naturopaths, and work with them and get detoxified. And then learn what your body needs and start eating properly. Eat organic whenever possible.
You also talk about getting enough sleep. You cover so many good points of information, including hormones and the changes that women go through, men go through them.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many different factors of information in your book. And I just think that you have put something together here that is common sense, that someone, a layperson, can pick this book up and go through it, read it easily, then go back. And I recommend using a highlighter. For those of you that are listening, get one of those bright yellow highlighters. Highlight the things that really go ding in your brain. Trust yourself. And just like she said, they haven't recorded one death from an overdose of vitamins. So your body has a natural way of working with it, but learn how to work with your body. Respect your body so that you can enjoy good health. Now, Dr. Roberts, do you have a website that people can go to?
I do. It's called goodmedicine.com. They can pick up the book on Amazon.
Terrific.
And Barnes & Noble.
Well, we have a few seconds before we'll be saying goodbye. What would you like to leave in the way of a last thought with my listeners?
Oh, I'd like your listeners to be good to themselves. I'd like them to know that life needs to be balanced. It's not just about work. It's also about play and relationships and being good to yourself, loving yourself, treating yourself well so that you have the energy to give to those around you. And that way, you know, we'll have a much better world. But people ignore themselves and they just plow through and they think that's okay. We have a marine mentality. And that may be fine for the Marines, but it really doesn't work in real life. We have to learn to be good to ourselves.
I couldn't agree more. Goodmedicine.com. Simple, easy to remember, just like the title of her book, Good Medicine, A Return to Common Sense. If you're trying to reach someone that you love, get the book, hand it to them, and sit down and read it with them. It can make a big difference in their life, also in yours. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. Dr. Roberts, thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you, Donna. It's been a great pleasure. Thanks.
This is Donna Sebo. We'll be taking a break. Don't you go anywhere. Good things to share with you afterwards. We'll be right back.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Welcome, my lords and ladies, to the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair, located at Maris Farms in Buckley, Washington. For 3 weekends in August, starting August 7th and 8th, we will transport you back to the days of old, where magic and merriment reign. Come see the multitude of musicians, dancers, jugglers, gypsies, peasants, nobles, pirates, and prestidigitation. That's magic for you commoners. Learn to swing a sword or shoot a bow and be knighted by Her Majesty the Queen. Hold your breath as jousters wheel their mounts around to engage in full contact combat on the field of battle. Sign on to sail the seas with scurvy pirates, or sit down with friends and family for turkey legs and a fine brewed ale. Delights abound for the young and old at the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair, so come one and all, starting August 7th and 8th, for fun and excitement, and may your day be fair. For tickets and info, go to www.washingtonfair.com.
Hi, this is Donna, and our apologies to those of you who have been listening. We've been having some technical problems that has to do with whatever. I am not a technical assistant, but I understand that there was something dropped for a moment and it came back on. Well, we're here, and you can always, if you missed at any point part of the interview with Dr. Carol Roberts, you will have it in the archives that you can go back and listen to. One of the things I wanted to share with you, oops, I forgot to tell you. If you want to call in and chat with me, 888-815-9756 is the telephone number to call into, and I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of insight. I wanted to share something with you. Because, you know, if you listen to the show regularly, I am a strong advocate of becoming educated regarding nutrition. And I have had so many experiences in my life where, because of someone not listening to what I told them, or they assumed certain things were correct, I had some serious medical problems. In fact, there's some particular situations that really could have taken my life. So I'm a very strong advocate of Western medicine on one hand. On the other hand, I think we must, as individuals, be educated. And Carol, because of her book, Good Medicine, A Return to Common Sense, I misplaced just a moment one of the things that we were talking about here. She was talking about brain health in her book. And one of the facts that came up in her publication, which I'm very much aware of, it's coconut oil. Now, coconut oil is natural. The Hawaiians used it for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. It was healthy, smells good, and it also works very well whenever you want to use it with food. Well, there was one of her local newspapers that told a story about a female pediatrician whose husband, who was 53 years old, was showing the earliest signs of Alzheimer's disease. He'd forget where he'd put things, people's names, what he ate for breakfast, and was losing the ability to find his house. Now, when she realized what was going on, she began a methodical search for nutritional supplements that might help him. And this is what she discovered. A tablespoon a day of coconut oil, either just straight, or she'd mix it into a shake, put it in soup, stew, used it as a cooking oil. However you got it, it reversed his symptoms. Now, this is worth trying, according to Dr. Roberts, if you know of anyone that's showing unusual memory loss, or even as a preventive treatment for any of us. Coconut oil does not denature at higher cooking temperatures, and it does not raise cholesterol. See, what a lot of people don't realize is that when you take medicines that are stripping cholesterol out of your system, nutrients are going out of your system as well. And this has been proven scientifically. Fats are being stripped out of your body. The brain is going to go haywire because it is cholesterol that wraps the sheaths of various nerve connections that enable the brain to work effectively. And like Dr. Roberts said, you need fats. So what you want to do is find out about the healthy fats. You want to find out about coconut oil, olive oil. There's various natural oils that you can use. Stay away from the processed oil. And don't be afraid of fat, because it is not going to make you fat. How many people do you know that are going to sit down and eat a whole pound of butter all by itself and go, If they do, there's definitely something wrong. There's something that their body's needing. Because there's a funny thing about the body. If you start putting something in your mouth and it is not appropriate, it is going to let you know. When you start paying attention to your body and listening to your body, you'll realize that you can really make a difference in how you eat and how you take care of yourself. But the fats are important. They're what keep your skin and your hair, all of these things, just in wonderful shape. I know of a woman that had been plump for a lot of years. All of a sudden, and she's in her late 60s, she went on a watermelon diet, so to speak. She couldn't get enough watermelon. Well, what's in watermelon? There's salt. There's all kinds of nutrients. Watermelon is very healthy. Well, she found she was losing weight, so she stayed on it. And she dropped an excessive amount of weight. Well, now she is losing her hair. She is not paying attention to the fact that her body needs nutrients. And so many times, and I know I've been on that diet wagon. Oh, trust me, maybe I should call it a Ferris wheel. You know how you can just imagine all different types of diets in the little Ferris wheel seats. And it goes around in a circle. But when we become aware of our bodies and understand the metabolic processes of our bodies, that's when we come out ahead. And in the summer, you need salt. You're not going to have to worry about overdoing on salt. Your body will tell you if you've had too much. You can't eat any more of it. Animals are smarter than we are because they know when they need it, and they go for it. Elephants do. They have their mineral places they go to. You have the salt licks that animals seek out, especially during warm months. I used to work for Frito-Lay many years ago, and they had salt tablets that were in their plants. Why? Because you dehydrate. And if ever you find yourself, especially during summer, that you are dehydrating, getting dizzy, you're out in the sun, then have water, add a little bit of salt and a little bit of sugar, and it'll perk you up and nothing flat. It's your immediate IV transfusion. But you drink. Salt and sugar go right to the brain, along with the water. It really makes a difference. You don't need the sugary drinks. You can make up your own. But you can do this for yourself. Education is so important. The only magic bullet you have is application of what you learn so that you can have the wellness that you want in your life. And you're entitled to that. But nobody can do it for you. And don't think that one little item is going to do it all. We're complex living beings, and our bodies need all kinds of nutrients. And that's the reason that we can diversify with all kinds of foods. It's really quite amazing. So I encourage you to get her book, because it's just marvelous as a read. Good Medicine, A Return to Common Sense. But I wanted to share that thing with you about coconut oil. Nutrition makes a difference. And you need to educate your children as well, but get yourself educated first so that you'll be comfortable with what you do. Okay, this is Donna Sebo. Telephone number, if you would like to call in and chat with me, is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, I wanted to share something with you about young people. I was just blown away with some programming I saw earlier today on television, and people will often think that the kids are just going into the trash heap of life. But I got news for you. There's a lot of good kids out there doing a lot of good things, volunteering, helping out with different clubs, different organizations, and taking a stand on things. We have a lot of very, very fine young people, not just in this country, but around the world, who are making a difference, and they're trying to grow up so that they can take their place as adults in the world that we will have left for them. So they need as much support as they possibly can get. Well, I have information here about some young people in a dream team. Now, they were high schoolers, and they were competing for a $10 million Progressive Automotive X Prize. Yes, teenagers. Now, these are 20 teenagers from the West Philadelphia Academy of Automotive and Mechanical Engineering. Now, they have people and teachers that they work with, and they took on the challenge for this $10 million to design an affordable vehicle that gets 100 miles per gallon and can be mass-produced. Now, they already outlasted teams from MIT and Toyota, and they are coming up to compete in races to decide the winners this summer. One of the high school seniors said, "We're doing something big for the world." That is thinking outside the box. These young people, instead of being told you're too young to even look at something like this, they said, why not? Their advisor said, why not? Let's go for it. What do we have to lose by trying? Not a thing. And for them to outdo MIT, hey, 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 that's saying something. These are young kids that are saying, we have imaginations. What can we do? We've gone through such a critical crisis. In fact, I've got a guest coming up next month. We're going to be talking about the automotive industry and why it didn't work. And this is, it's called At the Crossroads. So it's going to be one of my guests next month. We're going to be talking about this. Here we've got something that's being presented to young people that don't know that they can't do it. And we need to take a lesson from them. We need to be able to look at our lives, where we are, and say, why not? We may have to do something differently. Maybe the rules that were established by ABC or QFR doesn't make any difference where it came from. Maybe they don't apply anymore. Maybe we need to adapt to something different. So instead of feeling discouraged, like you don't have choices in life, ask questions. And say, where can I go? Who do I talk to? They can give me different applications. Don't say no to life. Say yes to the opportunity of being able to express your own uniqueness. If these high school kids can do it, the rest of us can find our own application through their example. I hope to hear about what they accomplished with it. Wouldn't that be cool? An automobile that gets 100 miles to gallon? I'd like it to run on water. What about you? Okay, this is Donna Sebo. We're going on a break. When we come back, phone lines are open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, He's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. You know, I mentioned watermelon, that somebody got on a watermelon diet. Well, believe it or not, I've got a recipe for watermelon that you might want to try. That is, yes, not just eating it raw, but this is something that's light and flavorful, perfect for a hot summer day. So have that pad of paper and pen ready. I want to share with you the story about a man who decided that he wanted to do something unlike he would have ever imagined himself doing. His mother said to him many, many times, when times get tough, and times are tough for a lot of people today, he said his mother, when he was growing up, would tell him, you must remember, when times are tough, you give. You give back. Now, this was really not something that he thought would ever have a significance to him, but it did. And it happened at a time when he was in the pits. Mm-hmm, that's right. The gentleman's name is Reed, and he said, I was laid off from work. My nonprofit organization didn't have the funds. I, along with a number of other people, lost our jobs. And he said it wasn't anything personal. He said he knew that what the economic situation was. And he said, I just felt so frustrated and so empty. And he'd sent out resume after resume after resume. And he said, I've been working since I was 12 years old. I've never, ever been without work. Well, it's as if his mother's words, when you're going through tough times, that's when you need to give back, started coming into his head. He felt his mother, and he felt these words going through, and he thought, what am I going to do? Well, as it turned out, he happened to be sitting near the steps leading to a fountain in Washington, D.C., and he was feeling sort of down and pity pot time, I guess is what you would say, and there was a woman that was sitting not too far from him, and she did not look very good. Her clothes were in very bad shape. Her face was very, very sad. And he looked at her, and something he could not explain made him get up, go over, sit next to her. And he didn't say hello or anything else. What he said to her was, "Hi, I'd like to give you $10. That's a little bit unusual, don't you think? Well, this woman smiled. She said, "Thank you." And he took the $10 out of his wallet, put it into her hand, and she put it into the little purse that she had. She said, "This has made my day." And he said, "Wow." And there was a shift inside of him. He couldn't explain it. So he decided, when he had this experience with this particular lady, this perfect stranger, that he had an objective for himself. He was going to give away $10 a day to a different person every day for 365 days, a full year. Now, when his brother heard about what he was going to do, he said, "You are out of your mind. You are out of work. You're going to give away $3,650. Are you nuts?" Well, Reed said, it feels right. So December 15th was the day he decided he was going to start it. And it was the date that his mom had passed away. And he said, "My mom had grown up with absolutely nothing, would give anybody the shirt off of her back." And he said, "I'll celebrate the legacy that my mom left me." So he went down into downtown D.C. on December 15th, and he started having interesting experiences. The first guy he wanted to give $10 to, the guy looked at him and said, "You want to give me $10. This man walked away from him. The second person he approached said, "There are many people more deserving than me." And he wouldn't take the money. Eventually, there was a man that Reed met who was trying to make ends meet with a shoeshine stand. And Reed explained about his project. Now, this shoeshine man said, "You're out of work?" He said, "Yes, I am." Well, the shoeshine man took the $10 that Reed offered to him and said, "God bless you." He, every day, gave $10 away. $10 went to a man playing a saxophone on a street corner. There was a young animal rights activist, homeless people that were living out of shopping carts. And he realized, with what he was doing, $10 might not be enough to change anybody's life, but what he was doing was changing his. But you know, something else was going on. The people sometimes would accept his offer, but not for themselves. He met a grandmother. Her grandson needed hand-me-downs, and she said, "I'm going to give this to my church, because there are people in my church that are worse off than I am." Then he met a young woman who was working three jobs to put herself through college. And she took the bill, the $10 bill that he gave her, and put it into someone else's hand. There was another young man that was using his $10 to buy baking supplies. The young man had gone home, baked cookies, and was handing them out on a corner. He said, "Take two. One for you and pass on to someone else." Reed was amazed, paying it forward. So he started posting the stories of the person that he'd given the $10 to, that young man with the cookies. And he's got a blog. It's yearofgiving.org, yearofgiving.org. And it has created an attitude of thoughtfulness and kindness. There was Anthony, a struggling newspaper salesman. He was mentioned on Lend the Hand section of Reed's blog that he needed sneakers a size 9. A teenager sent Anthony a used pair of his own shoes. A single mom confided she was terrified she was going to lose her home to foreclosure if she didn't find work soon. She got a bunch of temporary job offers to get her back on her feet. People were responding to Reed's blog. They were saying, times are tough for everyone, but seeing what you do keeps me going. Me too, Reed typed back. It's addictive to do nice things. You know, they now have a worldwide day of giving that honors Reed. He's now got a full-time job, but he said, my mom would be proud, not only because I'm her son, but because so many people are doing what they believe is right without expecting anything in return. Giving truly is a wonderful thing. Well, we're out of time. The watermelon recipe will have to wait. Trust me, it's okay. We'll do it Monday. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Pass it on. Pass on what you have in life because you and your greatness are needed. Have a fabulous weekend. Talk with you on Monday. This is Donna. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.